Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Charlene Summers. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
So, Star Wars, that's a fun thing, right? I've had a bit of a crash course in Star Wars over the last few weeks because before that point I didn't really understand it. It was a bit, I know, boo, bad person. I'm a girl, shut up. Right. So, so I genuinely thought, I was getting really confused, me and Matt watching the films together, the episode 4, 5 and 6, and I was like, why are they like brother and sister? I don't understand. Didn't they have like kids and stuff? So Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker, for those of you who haven't seen it, they're brother and sister. It was one of the questions in the questionnaire this morning. Now, I got confused because in the earlier films, episodes 1, 2, and 3, there's a man and a woman, they get together, but they're not brother and sister, so that's fine. And they have kids who are Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker, and they're twins. So I was really confused, like, I don't understand this brother and sister thing. It's a bit weird. Why are they having kids together? But that's not how it worked. Thankfully. Cool stuff. Just to clear that up, that's what I learned. Now you guys know. There you go. So, hey, very good, very good. So I was having a think about the difference between dark and light, because the whole story around Star Wars, it's all, you got your dark side, and it doesn't specify what the light side is, but I'm going to call it the light side today. So we've got your dark and we've got your light, okay? Simple. I'm going to keep it simple this morning. Now, one of the best things about being a Christian and knowing Jesus is that we have been called out of darkness into light. We grasp that. That's cool. We love that. So beforehand, before we knew God, before we accepted Jesus into our life, we were covered in darkness. And this world, as we know, is full of dark things, sin. And we were covered, entangled, completely wrapped up in darkness and in sin beforehand. And God had a plan for us. Because of God's great, awesome, amazing, crazy, crazy good love for us, he sent his only son, Jesus, to the cross. We've got a nice cross there. Good picture. Looks a bit nicer than the one that I'm sure Jesus was nailed to. And he gave his life willingly so that we could be set free from darkness and we could live in the light, which I think is pretty awesome. We should be more excited about this, church. Right. So, every person in this world, whether you know it or you don't, has been called to light. Every single person. There might be people here this morning that have maybe not grasped that, they're maybe not sure about that, but I can tell you this now, it is truth, you are called to light. That is part of your calling on your life, that is what God purposed you for, to live in the light. Not one person is called to live in darkness. We might get a little bit wrapped up in darkness, we might be like really gross and dirty and whatever, full of sin, but not one person is called to darkness. We are all called to light. And it's our choice with that when we get to the cross. Alrighty then. So John 8 verse 12, if you want to turn there, if you've got your Bibles, says this. I don't know what version I've got because I copied this one from the internet. It says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I've got the New King James, apparently. That's good, because I've got New King James up here as well, so there we go. It's a good version. I've also got another scripture about light, which is just as epic as the first one. In John 1, verse 5, just a few chapters before that, it says this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Love that. So, Jesus has made the way for us. He's made the way through the cross for us to live in the light continuously. Darkness cannot overcome light. And I think that's pretty amazing. All right then. It's an interesting one because to live in the light, it's quite a high calling actually. A high calling to live in the light. And sometimes it seems a little bit unattainable. Seems a little bit like up there to live in the light. But Jesus made the way. He made it possible. Now, on the Star Wars kind of theme, working with that, God has given us his spirit so that we have, well, he's made the unattainable attainable through his spirit. So what I'm going to call that today is I'm going to call that the force, to keep it Star Warsy. And so when I say the force, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. So when he went to the cross, he made the way for us to live in the light. And he also, not only did that, which is amazing, he gave us his Spirit to live within us, which can help us live in the way of the light, to live as children of light. Okay? Ephesians 5 verse 8, let's flip over there, says this. To get excited about it. For you were once darkness, scary stuff, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And I wrote down here, and you've probably seen it on the notices if you've been paying attention, your destiny, the calling on your life, is to live in the light. And your identity is to be a child of the light. Yes. Jesus made the way for that to happen. So I've got a couple of light testimonies here. One is my friend's testimony, but it's really good. And then one is mine. So the first one, this is an unattainable, attainable thing. Our friends last weekend, Colin and Kate, they're really, really awesome people. You've probably met them before. They've been here before, or Colin has. They got married last week, which is awesome. And they're a really, really awesome couple. And they were getting married, and at the end of the vows, it was like, we now pronounce you husband and wife. The crowd went crazy and got really, really excited. But then there was no kiss, and we were like, okay, that's different. Normally you get, now pronounce you husband and wife, kiss, mwah, they are married. That didn't happen, though. So we were like, okay, fair dues. And I said to my friend, I was like, well, Kate's pretty shy. Maybe it was, you know, there's 300 people here. There's a lot of people to kiss in front of, in fairness. So I figured that was probably the reason. Anyways, at the end of the service, Pastor Clive Urquhart gets up and he says, so you might have noticed that Colin and Kate didn't kiss at the end, right? We're like, we did. We noticed that. That was, we clicked onto that one. And he said, he explained to us that Colin and Kate had actually honoured God and honoured one another, and that they had decided when they first started courting that they weren't going to kiss until their wedding day. So it was going to be their first kiss. So on their wedding day was their first kiss. So they got up to the front and we were like, no, they're not going to do that, like the first kiss in front of us. Like, really? Is that going to happen? And they did. The crowd went wild. It was so exciting. Because we love to celebrate that high calling on someone's life. We love to celebrate when someone gets in there with God and they achieve those things. And it was a call from God in their lives to not kiss until their wedding day. And I thought that was amazing. And it's a high calling. You know, it wouldn't have been easy. I can't imagine that would have been easy because they fell in love. Obviously, you wouldn't get married if you didn't fall in love. And they were not going to kiss each other. And that's an expression of love. But they honored God and they honored each other by not giving each other a kiss, which I thought was amazing. And they did that through the power of the force or God's Spirit. So they had to have that Spirit of God within them for those times when it got difficult and it got tough to not give in and kiss one another. Or those times when they were so excited to be with one another and so in love to not kiss one another, because that was part of the calling. All right. A bit of personal testimony now, because it's always good. Last year, in November, I lost my job. I was made redundant. I mean, I found out quite a few months before that, in May. I think it was around this time last year-ish. I found out that I was being made redundant. And I was being made redundant in November. And the opportunity kind of arose, as it were, for me to work as part of the team here at church, which is like the best team in the world. Just to give a bit of a shout up. Have my water, please. Just a quick drink break. Better. Right. And the opportunity arose, and the plan was that it would be a part-time job, part-time working here with the church voluntarily, and then I'd get a part-time job of sorts, so I'd have a little bit of income coming in. Anyways, a little bit before that, God was saying to me, and I really felt God's Spirit say that I had to work voluntarily full-time, and I was like, cool, all right, let's go with that. And I spoke to Matt about that, and that was all good. I spoke to the pastors about that, and that was cool. And God said to me, I will provide. I was like, that's good, God. So that was fine when I still was being paid, obviously. So that was cool because I was like, yeah, that's great. You know, my paycheck's still coming in. And then when it stopped, that's when sort of like, is the expression rubber hit the road? Is that right? Yeah. We'll go with it. rubber hit the road, and then the reality hit in. It was like, I no longer have a wage, and I'm giving all of my time to church, which is what God said. And actually, telling you, like, honestly, it's been the best time ever. I've had the best, is it like 6 months or so now? 6 months of my life. Me and Matt are debt-free. How does that work without, like, salaries? Which is awesome. We've also had not one holiday, but we're about to go on our second holiday this year in a week. Hey, hey. How does that work without my salary? I don't know. That's God. And not only the big stuff, like those things are pretty major, but God is also interested in the small stuff. So God made the way for me even the small stuff. There was a point when I really, really, really needed a new coat back in the winter. My coat, it kind of looked all right on the outside, but if I took it off, there's about 10 million holes in it. And it was just literally falling apart at the seams. And I was like, God, I need a coat. And Matt was sad because he was like, we just can't get a new coat this month, Charlene. You know, we'll get one next month. And I was like, okay. God knows. Anyways, that week in the offering, there was an envelope with my name on it. Ha ha, that's exciting. And I was given this envelope at the end. And inside there was some money. I don't know who gave it. And I don't need to know, but God has definitely blessed you because of that. And he blessed me because I was able to buy a new coat a couple of days later, and I had the money to it, and it didn't even use up like a percentage of that money, which is amazing. So God provides, and God made the way. You know, it's a high calling on your life when you've got to like full-on volunteer for the church. And God's just made the way, and it has been joyful, it's been fun, it's been exciting. I have learned crazy amounts of stuff from the leaders, and it's just been awesome. And God has made the way. He made that unattainable thing in the natural attainable by his spirit, by the force. All righty then. The next bit of the preach, this kind of second half that we're going to look at, is a 3-point self-check on making sure you don't trip up or fall into or just like run straight into the dark side. Okay, scary stuff. Right. Darkness has no place in light. We grasp that. You put a light on in a dark room and, ooh, it's light, there's no dark. And that's what it is with God. Darkness has no place. But sometimes we have a tendency to kind of fall back into those dark ways and get ourselves a little bit wrapped up in darkness or sin. According to Star Wars, having watched the films now, I'm not sure how many times, a few times. Matt was all too willing to watch them, by the way. Oh, no! We've got to do this for research. You know what, Charlene? I think we should just get on that right now. Let's watch those Star Wars films tonight. Okay, fine, we'll do that then. Hey! Very good, very good. But according to Star Wars, there are three things or three sort of areas that will give you a bit of an indication that you're tripping over into the dark side. Those things would be fear, anger, and hatred. Ooh, scary stuff. And in order for us to stay in the light side, not falling into the dark side, it's a good idea to do a self-check fairly regularly on these three areas. And just, you know, just make sure you're not going, popping over to the dark side. Even if they wear cool costumes, eh, Josh? So, Josh is like, what? I don't understand. So, I've been looking at the story of King Saul and David. King Saul is like, he just nails it every time with these three areas. He gets fearful, he's afraid, he's very, very angry, like quite a lot, and he just like genuinely hates David. And so he nails it time and time again. So if we pop over to 1 Samuel 18, let's see if I can find it. Oh, I did mark it, but the marker's fallen out. It's all good. Right, so I shall read it out to you. Sorry, I'll tell you the verse first. Verse 5 through 16. And this is, just to give it a bit of context here, we know the story of David and Goliath. So David was there, Goliath, big Philistine, giant dude, a bit scary, and David being a young teenage boy with the power of God in his life, struck him down with some stones, which is amazing. So just after this fact, this is what happens. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants.
Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. Sounds like a pretty funky welcome. So the women were singing, and as they sang and they danced, they said this: Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, note the word angry, and this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward, so he's keeping an eye on him. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. So he's literally trying to hit him with a spear here, guys. Let's get reality here. That's a bit harsh. Come in and play some music for me. I'm going to take you out with a spear. So that's what was happening. So just, you know, got to think about the reality of the situation sometimes. Sometimes we get a bit airy with it. Actually, the reality was King Saul was trying to kill David with a spear. Bit harsh. Now, Saul was afraid, note the word afraid, fearful, of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Alrighty then. So there's a pretty quick succession here of a bit of fear, a bit of anger, and a bit of hatred. It went fairly quickly. And it wasn't something giant that caused Saul to suddenly like full on flip into the dark side. It was actually quite a small thing. David had done something good. He'd been in the power of the force or the spirit of God, and he took down a giant. And so the people were celebrating. Naturally you would, if there was a giant here and, I don't know, Josh, you went out there, you slayed it, we'd be celebrating, we'd be quite excited about that. In fact, we would just be like, what just happened? That's exciting stuff. So we would be excited about that. But Saul, not so much. He was getting a bit jealous because the people were singing, they were saying, David's killed 10,000s, Saul is 1,000s. And Saul was like, not sure about that one, thank you. So he got angry with David. Then he tried to kill him. And he was also very scared of him. He was scared he was going to take his crown. All right. So, verse 8, it says that, Saul was very angry. And in verse 12, it says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And verse 15, again, when Saul saw that he, David, behaved wisely, he was afraid of him. So let's check out the fear bit first. So it's quite easy to get afraid of stuff. And in this particular context, in this story, Saul was afraid of David because of two things. Because David was godly and because David was wise. So a couple of things kind of like scared Saul a little bit there. He was afraid of him. Now, sometimes we get a bit freaked out by people who are godly because they're living at that high level, that high calling of God in their lives. So some people at the wedding at Colin and Kate, they might have been a little bit freaked out that they were living such a high calling, because that's not normal to do that. Some people might look at me and be like, you are crazy. Why are you working without a wage for this long? This is ridiculous. But it's the high calling of God on our lives. And sometimes that scares people a little bit. It freaks them out because, you know, if you're not living at that level, it might be a little bit, you know, unattainable, a little bit scary, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit fearful of that. The other thing that Saul was scared of with David was that he was a very wise guy. Basically, he was doing a good job. So he was going out, he was the captain of the army, and he was doing a good job with that. I don't know how that works, I'm not an army person, but presumably his soldiers were doing pretty well. They were enjoying some good leadership, and perhaps they were winning a few battles. That's kind of how I imagine it. So with Saul, he was afraid of that, because suddenly David was doing a really, really good job with the soldiers. And Saul was thinking, uh-oh, so he's just slayed a giant, he's really, really good with soldiers, is he going to be a good king too? Is he going to take my crown? Scary stuff. And anger and hatred is what ultimately led to Saul's destruction. He ended up, actually, in 1 Samuel 31, verse 3 to 6. You don't have to turn there. But what happened was, after many, many, I don't know, months or years of chasing after David, David ended up having to flee the kingdom because the hatred and the anger towards him from King Saul was so bad. And so David was having to flee, and then Saul was chasing after him, and there was a few altercations and stuff, but we're not going to go into that today. And it ended up, because of the anger and the hatred within his soul and the fear, it literally destroyed Saul. And there was a battle right at the end of 1 Samuel, and the Philistines were coming against the Israelites, and King Saul was there. And he was so afraid, and he actually, he said to his armor bearer, "Right, stab me with my sword, kill me." And his armor bearer was like, "No, not having that, not having your blood on my head." And so Saul actually ended up, you know, stabbing himself, as you do. Not so good. We'll just skip over that bit. Children are in the room. So, drink break. To finish off, because we're not having a majorly long talky bit here, it's just a few things, a few sort of nuggets you might want to think about. There are a couple of main things that I want you guys to think about as we're going to go into some worship in a sec. We're doing this song, which is epic, called We Are Free. Very timely song to be doing. And there's a couple of things. If you're here today, and perhaps you're not living in the light side, as it were, or you're having a bit of an inkling or a little bit of a feeling like, actually, you know what? This light side sounds pretty cool. I'm aware that there's a whole bunch of dark stuff going on in me. I'm aware that there's some sin there. And actually, God sounds pretty cool. And I would like him in my life. And I want to live at that higher place, that high calling, because I'm aware that's now where I'm supposed to be. There's a simple prayer that would be really, really cool if you could pray. I'm going to read it out, otherwise I'll get it wrong. And it goes something like this. This is what we call like the sinner's prayer. It's basically saying, "Forgive me for my sin, the darkness, and Lord, bring come into my life." And I'd like you to pray this as we worship. It says, "Lord Jesus, I know that you are God, and right now I accept you into my life. Lord Jesus, I ask you now to forgive all the darkness and all the sin in my life, and I ask that you would come and live in my life now, that the force of your spirit would come and live in me now. God, come and have your way in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." So you don't have to pray it word for word, because that's quite a chunk. But if you feel like that's what you're supposed to pray this morning, pray more or less those kind of things. Forgiveness, ask Jesus to come and live in your life, and by his spirit help you to live a life in the light. They're the three bits you need to cover. If you're not ready to pray that, but you're interested, come and have a chat with me afterwards. That'll be really, really cool. Or have a chat with one of the pastors. We've got Pastor Lynn and Pastor Shane. They are amazing. And that would be really, really great. The second thing, quite a few people here, we've already got Jesus as part of our life. So if you're already a child of light and you know that maybe there's a bit of darkness trying to seep in, maybe a bit of fear, a bit of anger, potentially hatred, a bit scary, but there's the potential there, isn't there? And these things have a tendency to snowball. Fear, if you let it, will literally consume you from the inside out and destroy you inside. Anger and hatred will destroy you and others, for that matter, because they just have that. That's what happens with anger and hatred. And if there's any of that, even maybe a smidge, you know, as you've been sat under the word today, God will have been pinpointing to you, if there is anything, those bits that you need to just iron out, those little bits of darkness that just need to get out of the way. So as we worship and as we sing this song, We Are Free, I want you to deal with that in whatever way you need to. And if anyone needs to have a chat with me at the end, please do. Very much so available for a chat.